surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
From my mother's womb, You have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins.
I'm no longer a slave to I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. So I could stand and say, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am child of God. Yes, I am a child of God.
Let's all stand. We'll change over the service this evening. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
Sing it to him.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy,
to see him this afternoon? Did you come expecting? Let's go ahead and go right into the Word. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to be back in fellowship. In the middle of the week, a lot of things going on. Lord willing, we'll get a little rejuvenation tonight. Let's go. I'm going to read tonight from Mark chapter 16 and Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And before we go into the Word, let's just go to the author. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together tonight around your Word, Lord. And Lord, everyone here, Lord, has need of something, Lord. We're all needing something. And one thing we're all marching toward is that body change. And we need that, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give us something to increase our faith tonight, Lord, that we can look into your Word and recognize the power that you've given into the church and the secrets that have been revealed to us in this last day, that you've given a great and mighty weapon in our hands with this Word. Help us, Lord Jesus, that you'll strengthen us and give us encouragement, Lord, and understanding, we pray. Lord, we open just our hearts this afternoon, Lord Jesus, as we gather here together around your Word, Lord, and I invite you in to move among us, Lord Jesus, and be with us tonight, Lord Jesus, we ask in your name. Amen. So in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." And Romans 8 and 11 says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." You can be seated.
Thank you, Lord.
My, I feel his spirit right now.
Amen.
Now, you know, we come to church and many of us have been Christians for many years and we come to church and it's almost like, you battle through things and you go through things to overcome things in your life and, you know, first of all, to be a Christian and to get the new birth and you, as you keep going on, sometimes maybe we lose sight of what the ultimate goal is. And I still believe that God is going to change our bodies. And I believe that we have been given in this hour the recipe of how our bodies are going to be changed. Maybe you look back and remember early on when you became a Christian and you were kind of probing at things and wondering how things worked and wondering how to even know whether you were born again or not. What the difference between all these, the true and the false and all these kind of things are. And then you begin to wonder, well, how are our bodies going to be changed? Do we just keep marching along and all of a sudden something happens, or is something, do we have to be given some special ability or something? But I believe that the recipe for how our bodies are going to be changed is laying in the message. It's laying in the Bible, and we've got it. So I want to talk about that tonight and kind of build up your faith to know that your body is going to be changed if you can follow this recipe, if you can get into the Word and follow the prescription that has been outlined for us in the message. Now, the scripture that I just read in Mark chapter 16, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And then these two sisters came to the open tomb, and they looked inside and they saw the proof that Jesus was gone. You know, they'd been following him for many years. And maybe they began to wonder as they saw him die on the cross, wonder, what is all this about? And, you know, see the effects of Peter betraying Jesus and saying, well, I don't know him. And all that night as the events unfolded, and that maybe looking around and seeing men that you had confidence in kind of fall away. And, you know, think about all the ones that followed Jesus' ministry. And then along the way, they begin to go off and you don't see them anymore. But yet here, as they came to the tomb, was the proof that everything that they had been taught, everything that they had believed in, everything, it was the proof of the thing. And see, everything's got to be proven out. Maybe that's something, sometimes we kind of, don't like it so much. Maybe young people tonight, maybe you at a place in your life where you don't want to be proven out, but everything's got to be proven out. It's got to be proven out what you're really made of, whether you're going to be a real man or not, whether you're going to be a real sister or not, whether you're going to be a real believer or not. It's got to be proven out. And you see, even Jesus had to be proven out. And the proof was in when he rose up from the grave. It proved that everything that he said was proven. Brother Branham said there's many little fine little babies born, and there's many men who have suffered and died for a real cause, but there never was a man, even though there had been a lot of people, good people in earth, there was never a man that could raise himself up again until this day. Never a man that could raise himself. So he proved what he said. He said, man can say things, but yet it isn't exactly can be believed upon thoroughly until it's been proved to be the truth. What proves the message to be the truth? What proves it is the quickening power of the Holy Ghost to come upon the word that you have believed and make it come to life. You see, there's got to be a time, there's got to be something to prove that what you've heard and what you believed, something within you to make it live, something to make it rise up from that dead denominational grave that you come out of, something to make you walk and talk just like Jesus. And you see, when he come forth from the grave, that's what he came forth to prove, that same life that caused him to raise from the grave, that same life has power to make you, to quicken your mortal body and make you walk and talk just like he did. Brother Bram said, what good would any of it do you, whether you had lint or not lint, if there's no life in you? You see, that's what it is. It's the life. The life is what's important. It's only a memorial. He said, Satan doesn't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. Let me pause on that for a little bit, because you know, when you read statements like that, Satan don't care how right you are in your doctrine, then your mind begins to go places. Your mind begins to go places like you begin to think maybe, it doesn't matter what I believe, but I want to declare to you tonight that it does matter what you believe. It matters what you stand for. That's why God sent us a prophet in this last day to straighten up what we believe, but you got to believe it. It doesn't matter how much you just look at the car and polish it up and say, look at all the good stuff we got sitting over there on our shelf. But you got to believe it. When you believe it, something will begin to happen. Something will spark and it will come to fruition. He said, no matter how religious, how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you have been born again. You see what he's saying? No matter how good you think, no matter how goody two shoe, no how many, how religious, how everything's all polished up and it looks real good. But until you have that life on the inside, it doesn't matter one thing. Now, Brother Branham said, there was a time when the world, maybe just think, as we go through this study, think about the thought that Brother Branham's trying to communicate to us. As he said, there was a time when the world was laying in utter darkness. And there was a time when you were laying in utter darkness. You were going through life not knowing what you were here for, what your purpose was in life. You were a sinner and lost and everything. And then what happened to you is the same thing that happened to the earth. The same thing that happened to the earth happened to you. There was a time when the world was laying in darkness. It was without form and was void, and it was all covered with water and was laying there in the dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere. And the Spirit of God moved upon that water and said, let there be light. In other words, God spoke. He spoke the word. You see, that's the same thing that happened to you when you were living in darkness. One day you heard the word spoken. It was spoke over you. Let there be light. Maybe not those exact words, but you heard a preacher preaching that you need to be born again. You heard a preacher preaching that you need to go to the water and be baptized. And yet something down, you began to say, I believe that preacher's right. I believe he knows what he's talking about. They led you to the message and they began to preach, and you were listening to the message tapes and you began to listen and study, and something began to grow on the inside. Something's happening to you.
Why? Because it's the Word of God received into your heart. The Word will have an effect just like the Word had an effect as it was spoken over a world without form and void. Just that, Brother Branham said, the first light was ever given in the earth was God's spoken Word. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken Word. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Spirit of God moved upon that water and said, let there be light. He said, God had a reason to do that, for down beneath that water, there was seeds that He had planted, and it had to have that sunlight to make it live. You think about that, that as God was moving over the earth without form and void, He knew that there was a seed that was going to come up. He knew why, because it was in His mind before the foundation of the world. And maybe one day you heard that word spoken over you and it was spoken and it came to life because God knew before the foundation of the world that there was a match for you in heaven. You were going to come up. You came into the world with that cosmic light. But when you heard the word spoken over you, eternal life came down and melted itself with your soul, and you came alive. And how did you come alive? By the word that was spoken over you. It's the word that changes you. You see, it's the word that's going to make your body change. It's the word that's transforming you. It's transforming your mind. It's transforming your character. It's changing you bit by bit, precept by precept, line upon line, here, little, there, little. The word is what is doing it. Listen, if His word will make the first seed come forth, then it can make a predestinated son or daughter of God spring forth today. It's doing the same thing that it did way back then when the world was in a formless and without any kind of shape and all those things. Brother Brown said in Genesis, the first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message. You think about the sun rising up to bring a message. The sun was coming up to bring a message that there will be life upon the earth, mortal life. But on Easter morning, on resurrection morning, the S-O-N had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge He had seen laying upon the earth. Now back in Genesis, when the sun rose and to deliver a message, and Christ rose on Easter morning to deliver a message, what kind of a message should we have tonight, today? The same kind of a message, that there's seeds laying out there, the seeds that are going to come forth, seeds that God has thought of before the foundation of the world that are going to come to life and spring up, come to life and grow to maturity, come to life and by that word come to a place where they'll be changed, where their atoms, the atoms of your flesh will be changed. I'm reminded of that parable that Jesus taught. He taught many parables about a sower going forth and sowing seed. And in one parable, He talks about how the seed is the word. But in another, in Matthew chapter 13, He said, He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. In other words, in that parable, God is actually sowing individuals. How is He sowing? By planting the word in you, by sowing the word in your heart. But He's sowing individuals, the individuals that He thought of before that foundation of the world. Can you just imagine that? Imagine that you have a purpose and a plan for being here. It's not just an accident that you're sitting here tonight. But God knew before the foundation of the world that you would need something tonight. Maybe you would receive something tonight. If you can believe it, if you can just not just look at the time, be polished up, not just look at the car laying out there, the word that you have access to, but believe it and you'll see God move on the scene. He said it takes the S-O-N like word, the word to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that He knew before the foundation of the world. He had chosen them in Himself before the foundation of the world. Listen, I maybe speak tonight on some quotes and things that might have stumbled people for a long time. But I believe we've come to a place now where we can look into these things with confidence, knowing what we believe, knowing that we have been hewn by the word to a place where we can receive with confidence what Brother Branham said. And listen, in thinking, a thinking man's filter, he said, notice that word cannot deny itself. There, then it is satisfied, or it's the desire. It's a desire of what made you desire it in the first place. Because down in your soul, there was a predestinated seed, which was eternal life, always laying in there, always was in there. What is that seed? The brother said in the voice of the sign, he said there was a seed laying there, a predestinated seed. He said it was God's thought before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the foundation of the world, God knew you were coming. He had it prepared for you. He had your mom and daddy prepared for you. He had them prepared to tell you about the gospel. He had the church that you go to prepared. He had everything laid out for you because He knew you were coming. Do you realize that's the message? That's the message that was proclaimed when Jesus rose from the grave. And that wave sheaf was waving over the people that there's more coming. This isn't the end of the story. There's more coming. He knew you were coming. Brother Abraham said, in works is faith expressed. He said, now here, predestinated plan is plain view. Just as other seed, the word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. He said, if you sowed seed, just throwed it out there on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would pick it up. You throw it among thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. So God in sovereign grace prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive Him in this age. He foreknew you by His knowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you. Therefore, He prepared you. That's the reason you staggered out of these things and staggered into what you have now. It was God leading you to the place where He had ordained for you to be. Even when you were like the world, without shapeless, without form, with no purpose in your life, not knowing what you're supposed to be, yet God knew you were coming first for the Think about it. I want to really lay that down. Before you first heard your very first sermon, before anybody told you about the gospel, God knew you were coming. He knew you were coming forth. Before you ever heard your first sermon preached, He knew you were coming. One day you would hear that word preached and you would receive it in your heart. And that seed, that predestinated seed laying there before the foundation of the world would come to life. God stalked before the foundation of the world. So Brother Brown said, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did He raise Him up for a memorial? Is this resurrection morning only a one day in the year? Or a certain day that we celebrate this? Or are we benefactors of His resurrection? And He asked this question, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Is it a memorial where we look over at a grave and we say, well, like, you know, that's what a memorial is. All these memorials to the veterans, the Vietnam veterans and all the different World War II veterans. You go and you look at a grave and you think, well, you remember and you think nice thoughts. That's what the gospel is to a lot of people. But the gospel is to proclaim that Jesus is not dead, but He's alive. Listen, that same life that rose Him from the grave and changed His mortal body is here tonight. To quicken every fiber of your being. Here tonight to make you change, to change you from the things of the world, to take away all that depression and sin and sickness and heartache and give you a joy that passes all understanding, knowing that that eternal life is on the inside of you. I mean, He said the secret was made known. The seal was opened to prove. What kind of seal? What kind of secret to prove that you're going to come up too? That's the message that was preached on Easter morning as He rose from the dead. That you're coming up too. You're coming up with Him as He rose. That life, if you're in Him tonight, that same life that was in Him rose you up from your dead ideas and things. Brother Brown said the seal on this sunrise was broken and the secret of life after death was revealed. He said, before that time, we didn't know. The world groped in darkness, groped around man's suspicion. Theories was among man's heart. Tradition made up. Man worshipped idols. They worshipped the sun. They worshipped all kinds of gods and all kinds of people that made claims. They all went into the grave and they stayed in the grave. But the real seal had been broken. And one who once lived as we live, died as we will die, was risen from the dead. What a morning. He said the secret was made known that He was both resurrection and the life. Because He was the proof. You know, even in the natural, you find business people want to go find a business person that has become successful in their life. And they look at that person and they go sit under their feet and they learn from them so that they can learn how to make money or how to do. Just in life, you look at somebody that's been successful in their life that is able to raise children and able to set up a good home or whatever. And many times you want to sit under their feet and listen to the words that they have. But now listen, what kind of example do we have? We've got an example of somebody that rose from the grave, that their mortal body was changed. And that's why we sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words, because he proved that the things that he talked about were true. That quickening power was in him and it proved it. That's why we give everything that we have over to him. We give our whole life, our whole being over to him to study out these things, to yield ourselves in prayer, to give ourselves wholly to this one who's been proven to raise from the dead. The only one, like Brother Bram said, there's been a lot of good people that did a lot of good things, but nobody ever rose from the grave like this man. And he said, when he come forth on that morning, because I live, you'll live also. He said that was the breaking of the seal, because he was brought up. So will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with him. That's the breaking of the seal. Because he lives, I can live also. Because he came forth, I can be changed also. Because of what he did, all that power that was given to him has been given over to the church. He's able to live in the church. He's able to quicken and change you and change your mortal bodies. The seed has come to life. You're rising up. Jesus said all those seed that was resting, Brother Bram said all those seed that was resting in God's great promise was a benefactor of that resurrection to life. Because he raised from the dead, we also have raised from the dead, for we were in him. Now, Brother Bram said, now, when he rose from the grave, he conquered Satan's Trinity. And what was Satan's Trinity? That was the Trinity of the devil, death, hell, and the grave. He said that was the Trinity of Satan, being caused by one thing. That was death. Death, you go with the grave, and being a sinner, you go to hell. And the very one thing, the Trinity of Satan, which was death, that had held man in captivity and all these years. Held man in captivity all these years. And how did he break the Trinity of Satan was doing? How did he do it? By bottling everything, that all the deity up in one man. Amen. And accomplishing the work. The way Brother Branham said this, I don't want it to stumble you a little bit, but the words that Brother Branham uses, he said the true Trinity of God. The true Trinity of God. What do you mean true Trinity of God? God being one manifested in Christ, who was life and had broke the seals and conquered the enemy and rose up, the one true and living God. God in one made man. God in one made man, put into flesh and dwelt among us and conquered every enemy and had proved that the Trinity of Satan was conquered and that the Trinity of God was made known. Because only God alone had power to bring life back again. He was that Emmanuel. God had been manifested in the flesh. You see what a great revelation this message has brought us, that God is not split up in three different people, but he's in three offices. And he was manifested in that one man, manifesting the true Trinity of God. God in one man. Now, you see why Brother Bram would say, when you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in you, because it's one manifested in you. And what's he doing now? He's manifesting that same God, the true Trinity of God, in the flesh of his bride today, come back to manifest himself in fullness, proving that he had raised from the dead. Brother Bram said, fear not, for I am he that was dead and is alive again forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell. I've already conquered it. Don't fear anymore, for every foreordained predestinated seed of God that shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth, the glorious gospel. In every age it'll bring forth the crop that God ordained it to do. He was quickened, you see, he was quickened so that you could be quickened. The same life that quickened me, Brother Bram said, the power that brought me from the grave, I will send it upon you to quicken you, that where I am, there ye will be also. He come to redeem or to bring to life those predestinated seed that God seen before the foundation of the world and put their names in the book. Well, we need the Spirit to make it live. And Brother Branham said, we as his servants are commissioned by him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that he is a living. That he's a living. And he said, and how can we do it? By word only. Oh goodness, we're getting into some stuff that stumbles people. How can we do it by word only? You see, we get taught a lot of things. A lot of word is laid out, and I want to maybe tackle this afternoon the idea that we don't need the word, or the idea that we don't need the moving of the Spirit in our lives. And how do you get it? Because Brother Branham lays out the plan in this message. If you got the word, you've got the mechanics. How do you get the dynamics? And he lays it out in here. He said, I'm afraid that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. What is getting people to Christ? Getting people to Christ is getting people to the word. See, sowing that seed. And then getting them to believe the things that they've heard. Getting them to see Christ actually moving in their life. Not just going to church and sitting there and looking at things move, looking at criticizing. He said, we're getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. You see, the word is not something just to argue over, but it's not something to argue over, but to believe. The word is not something to make a camp about and set up a tent and camp out on your theology or your church or your membership or your theory or your religion or all those kind of things. But it's actually something to actually believe. He said, if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lived. In other words, let's not be satisfied with just knowing a lot of things, but let's crave and let's hunger and move toward actually seeing God demonstrated in our own life. Actually seeing him visible in our life. Not just memorizing a lot of things. Not just knowing a lot of things in our head. But actually see him be made manifest in our life. What good would it do? What good would it do if you packed in all kinds of information but you're still in the prison of pornography? What good would it do if you've got all kinds of knowledge packed into your mind but you're still under bondage of temper tantrums and not being able to have a relationship with your wife and just bound by things of this world? But God sent that quickening power into the church to change your life, to quicken your mortal body. He said, if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you, that same life, that them same powers, them same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God. And it's not, the word is not said so that we can be critical of others and critical of other people. Many times the word will make you critical. Just hearing the bare mechanics, because you'll look at somebody come up for healing and you'll be like, well, they didn't get healed. I wonder why they didn't get healed. Maybe there's something wrong in their life. Or you look at somebody begin to praise and you'll wonder, I'm sure they don't really get it the way that they should get it. And you begin to look because you've got all that knowledge heaped up on the inside and you begin to look with a critical mind towards somebody that's praising God and somebody maybe that doesn't preach the way that you think they should preach. And you begin to look, but instead of looking with a critical mind and a critical eye, I want to look for and expect the dynamic power of a living God, believing that only believe all things are possible to them that believe. Now the problem is, and I want to lay this down tonight, the problem is that when the word is preached, we have such a hard time actually dying out to our own ideas. And we'll sit there and we'll argue it out within our mind and we'll argue out and I don't know if that minister is right and I don't know if what my mom and daddy are telling me is right. I don't know if what people are saying is right and you argue. You can tell a lot about somebody by whether they argue with the word. When the word is laid out in front of them and they argue back. When a standard is put before the children and they argue back. There's a standard of holiness, why we dress the way we do and why we come to church every time the doors are open. And when you argue back and say, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to come to church? It shows that there's something lacking. Why do I need to be in the house of God every time? Why? But one day when that quickening power comes upon the word that you've failed to believe up till now, something will change. It'll change your character. It'll change you from an arguer to a believer. You see what our problem is? We don't die out to our own ideas. If you can begin to... Listen, I'm telling you something real. I know what I'm talking about. If you can turn your soul toward the Word and say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe the things that I held down in my heart were not right. Maybe my mama and daddy do know what they're talking about. Maybe the ministers at this church do know what they're talking about. And you begin to die out to your own ideas, die out to your own way of thinking. Accept the mechanics that have been laid out before you. The quickening power of dynamics will come. Stop arguing with the Word. Just accept it and believe it. I believe one of the most profound scriptures in the Bible is where Jesus said, if you can come to me as a little child, come to me as a little child, just saying, I believe it, not arguing it out, not saying, well, I don't understand why he would preach those things. Is he trying to attack somebody? Is he trying to come after somebody in the church? But don't argue with it. Just believe it. Just accept what God has already said and believe it. Oh, if we could see how simple the message really is, how simple the gospel really is when the truth is laid out before you, all you gotta do is believe it. All you gotta do is accept it and die out to your old ideas. Just believe what's been spoken. Billy Graham said, how did he know, how did we know he was the Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. He proved it. He proved it by his life. He proved it by his ministry. And he proved it by raising from the grave. And you've got to be proven too. He said, I know the message of the hour. God proves what he promised. And he talks about it. He said, that is the identification that we are beneficiaries with him in the resurrection. He proves what he has talked about. He proves it by making it come up off the page and live before you. Living where you can actually see a change in your life. That once you were shapeless, without form, without purpose in your life. And God plucked you out of the world and put a purpose in you and changed you. See, you're not bound by pornography. You're not bound by depression. You're not bound by the things of the world anymore, but you've been changed. He said his spirit brings his same life again on the earth. That same spirit, by the same works, by the same power, by the same signs being you, it'll also raise you up. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved on the resurrection. What he promised to do in the days of Moses, he proved it. What he promised in the days of Enoch, he proved it. In all the days of the apostles, he proved it. And he is still proving today. How's he doing it? By that same resurrection power. What are you talking about, Brother Bob? I'm talking about when you look at a Christian life and you can tell, you look at somebody, when somebody smacks him across the face or says something disagreeable, that Christian life in them holds. It's a manifesting of the quickening power in their life. A real, true saint of God that's been molded by the Word, has believed that Word, and the quickening power has come upon that person living inside of them, proving that the things that have been spoken of are true. That's the kind of proof I believe in. That's the kind of proof I stand for, the proof of the resurrection. He's still proving today. And Brother Branham said, the Son has got to be revealed again in the bride in the last day. The quickening power has got to come. Quicken them out of these dead denominations and creeds to a living Word of the living God. How's it going to come? How can the quickening power come? It's going to come by the Word. By the Word that we've heard. By the Word that's laying on our bookshelves. By the Word that we've polished up all these years. And now it's time to believe it. Now in Leviticus chapter 23 verses 10 to 11, you don't have to pull that up or anything. I'm just going to preach tonight. The Bible says the word of God to Moses was, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, will you be come into the land which I give you and shall reap the harvest thereof? Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So the sheaf wave was waved. The priest would go out into the field and he'd see all that wheat coming up, and a lot of wheat had not come to maturity yet. So he'd grab up the first little bundle of wheat that had come to maturity and he'd hold it up over his head. And the Bible says that he'd hold it up over his head on Sunday, on the day that Christ rose from the grave, on the day that sheaf wave was waved. The day that the sheaf wave was proven, he, and the priest would wave it up over the people. And why did he do that? He waved it to show, standing there in that field of all the other wheat that was coming up, to prove that there's more to come. That there's more coming, and he waved it. He was the first from the dead and the first to maturity. Hey, Brother Brown said, notice it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat by God's quickening power. But it showed that there was more to come. If you can accept that same life that was in him will raise you up. Waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was a wheat. The first one that proved it was a wheat. In other words, you got to be proven. You got to be proven. How are you proven? You got to stand like Jesus did right before Pilate, and Pilate looked him all over and he said, I don't find, the devil himself looked him all over and said, I don't find no fault in you. You got to go through trials and suffering and things in life to be proved out, proved whether that faith, that same life is dwelling inside of you. And then what was he doing? What is that sheaf wave? It was waving Christ the word over the people. That sheaf wave was raised as he rose. It was waved on the day of Pentecost. Brother Brown said, as that rushing mighty wind waved over the people on the day of Pentecost to prove that that life was coming back. And it's got to be waved again in the last day to prove that the word is true, that his power is real, that there's more to come. What is that sheaf wave? It's the word of God in this last day waved over the people. And I believe that we've heard the word waved over us. We've heard the gospel of Daniel 70 weeks and the message of the Son of Man and the message of all these dispensations and the word, the seals have been opened, and we've heard a word waved over us, and it's been waved over us to prove that there's more coming up to maturity. He said the first time they will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of a dark denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. We've seen the message waved over the people as cots were brought up before Brother Branham and his ministry, and it showed forth that the life was in the people again. It's showing forth today in this very hour that all around the world people are being healed and saved because the same quickening power into the headship of this message that we've heard has the same effect that it did when Jesus rose from the grave. That's why Brother Branham said, who is the Son of Man? And the day that the Son of Man will be revealed or waved again over the people, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He said, if all the teaching that we have and confirmation of the Word of God, by Word of God, by signs, by wonders we see today, that in the book of Luke here, that we, as we just quoted from, and Malachi 4 and the different scriptures that we are acquainted with, that Word again is waved over the people. The Word again is waved over the people as the Word is preached. You see, this message is the very proof of the resurrection. This message is the proof that what he said it has an effect on your life. The very effect that it has on your life is the proof that Christ is alive. A resurrection out of dark denominationalism. He said he was waved to them. The Word, which he was waved back to them on the day of Pentecost. The Word made manifest. Waved to prove the power of the risen Christ is here. And then he said, well, you say the power is in the gasoline, Brother Branham. But I don't care how much power is in the gasoline, unless there's a spark there to manifest that power. Unless there's a power there to confirm that that's gasoline, it just might as well be water. You see what he's saying? We've got the car built. We got the Son of Man, the doctrines. We've got Daniel 70 weeks laying out there. But something's got to bring it to life and actually make it live within us. We've got all the head knowledge maybe of the seven seals. We've got the seven seals laying there before us, and we can begin to kind of probe and understand with our ideas, but something's got to make it rise to life so that it's not in symbol form anymore, but it's actually a living reality. The thing that has been prophesied of, the thing that's been spoken of, living out right before our very eyes. You see, that's what the Son of Man is. The Son of Man is actually the Word in flesh again, quickened, actually walking before you, where you can see that same life in the flesh of the bride again, the same life that was in Christ that made him rise from the grave. He said, no matter how much theologians claim, how well you got your church set, how much education you got, how much like the Bible, until that wave sheaf, until the Holy Spirit comes upon that person to quicken that word. The gasoline represents the word, it's the truth, but without the Spirit it won't move. Now how do we get the Spirit to move though? If we can crack into that secret, into the key of how to get the Spirit to move, and you see it's so simple. So simple. That's why, you know, Brother Bram kept going back as he would illustrate talking about Abel crawling up on that altar to be identified with his sacrifice. Crawling up on that altar. What was he doing up on that altar? He was dying out. Dying out to his old way of thinking. Dying out to himself. Ready to recognize that what the sacrifice had done was enough. Ready to believe. And if you'll do the same thing tonight, if you'll just believe the word that has been spoken, that's what we do. That's what we comb through the message, looking for little nuggets. We're combing through, looking for that little thing that will spark our faith. Looking for that little sentence that Brother Bram said, looking for the something that will spark us and give us faith to ignite it. If we'll die in humility and contrition and come as a little child, that's why young people pushing back against your parents and believing that everyone but you is wrong and rejoicing in the weeping of others and doing all those kind of things. If you'll humble yourself and come in contrition, believing maybe that you didn't have it figured out to begin with. If you want to go up, you got to go down. If you want to go up, sometimes you got to admit that you're wrong. If you want to go up, sometimes you got to admit maybe that you didn't have church figured out, that you didn't have the new birth figured out, that there's something maybe that's lacking in your life. Why don't you recognize tonight that maybe your parents do love you? Why don't you recognize that maybe the preacher's right and maybe that God does want to save you? Recognize it. That's how the dynamics come. The dynamics come because the mechanics have been laid out. The mechanics is God loves you, but you've got to accept it. You got to believe it. And if you believe it, then you'll see something move. You'll see God come on the scene and prove His word to you. If you can recognize tonight that there is a way back. Brother Bram said we put too much stress on the mechanics. And I'll say this. I believe the mechanics is our own ideas. Sometimes it's our own church ideas. It's laboring over what the Greek and the Hebrew is and our opinions and traditions and even wanting to be the authority. Wanting to be the one that's right. If we'll lay that down and say, maybe God, I'm not the one that's right. Maybe your word is the one that's right. Maybe you're the one that knows what you're talking about. Maybe that minister that it seems like a lot of people poke at and don't like too much, maybe he's got something that I need. We put too much stress on the mechanics. The mechanics is the word though. The mechanics, and Brother Bram explains it a little bit. We'll get to that. Brother Bram, he really nails it down. We put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamic. If you begin to stress the dynamic in your life, you'll come with humility saying, oh God, give me something. Coming in humility, seeking after something. Coming, probing through the word, flipping the pages of your Bible. There's something that I need. He said it needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church to manifest and to bring that to pass that this is gasoline. It might be in a gasoline can. It could still be water, see, but the only proof of it is, is the life. The life on it. In other words, it's got to be proven that what you've held down in your heart is actually what you say it is. It's got to be, you say you got the new birth, it's got to be proven. You say you're living a Christian life, it's got to be proven. And I'll say this, when your kids are looking at you and you see you screaming to your spouse there in the kitchen or whatever, they know that something's wrong. It's got to be proved out. Everybody knows whether it's proved out. The devil knows whether it's right or not. Your kids know whether it's right or not. Your spouse knows whether it's right or not. It's time to get serious and crave the dynamics. Look for the power of God in our life. It might be all good that you know all the things about the message, but I want to see Christ live. And we've got to prove, we've got the wave sheaf to prove that there's more coming up, that there's something available to you if you get serious about it. in the message once more, he said, there's where Satan got in to make it all mechanics and no dynamics. Back all dynamics and no mechanics. See, we got to put it together. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit, but we got to come back with the Word. You see what he's putting the emphasis on? We got to come back with the Word to feed this machine. We can't feed it on creed. It won't burn it. It chokes up the flues, and it will not burn it. It was made for the Word of God. Let's lay this down. How do I get a body change? By the Word of God. Amen. How do I get the new birth? By the Word of God. Amen. How am I changed? By the Word of God. Amen. Now, to go from point A to point B, there's a lot of things happening in there. There's a lot of trials and struggles and tribulations and worrying about your kids and, oh God, what's going on right now in my life and problems at work and problems with your spouse and all that. But it's the Word of God. The Word of God is what's changing you. There's a lot of things in there between point A and point B, but it's the Word of God. He might take you down through the valley of the shadow of death like Job, but the Word of God is going to change you nonetheless. It's the Word of God that's doing it. And when you believe the Word of God that has been spoken to you, the dynamics will come. It's believing the Word that brings the dynamics. You see how Satan does? He'll get in amongst people and he'll begin to make you think that it's not the Word that brings the dynamics, that the dynamics come some other way, but it's the Word of God that brings the dynamic power of God. The problem with why there's no dynamics many times is because when the Word is being preached, people get so cozy in their own ideas and they begin to fall asleep and they begin to say, well, I don't want to hear what that preacher has to say, or I've already heard it before. And they begin to get all cozy with their mechanics. They get cozy and they begin to sour up maybe. He said that's the Easter message. The dynamics and the mechanics together. The mechanics without the dynamics, no good. Neither is the dynamics without the mechanics. You can scream and shout and jump and up and down all you want to and deny this Word. It won't do you any good. You're just cranking around the pistons. That's why I was talking to somebody the other day. You cannot say that because somebody jumped up and down that they got something real. It's a real Holy Ghost, but you cannot say. I know that stumbles people. I know that might be stumbling to you here tonight, but I'm going to preach it anyway because it's the truth. You cannot look at somebody and say because they saw the pillar of fire or they had a good dream or they had supernatural things in their lives that they had a real experience. I'm talking about down on the inside of your soul. That Word, that where's the Word at? If all you're looking for is some kind of a supernatural sign without the Word, it's got to be the Word first. The Word first in everything. And Brother Bram said, I'm skipping ahead in my notes, but he said the evidence of the whole thing, if you've really been quickened down on your inside of your soul, it will quicken you to the Word. It will quicken you to the Word, and you will hunger and thirst after the Word, because that's the thing that you're living by. It's the Word is the evidence, the Word, because the Word quickened is alive, and the Word, the whole thing is about the Word. You're changed by the Word. You're matured by the Word. So maybe ask this question tonight. Do you realize what you got in your hands? Do you realize what this is? This is the secret to your body change. This is the secret to overcoming the world. It's the secret to overcoming every lie of the devil. It's the secret to conquering everything that the devil throws at you. It's laying in your hand, maybe laying on your shelf. It's laying here if we'll just accept it. Brother Bram said, I'm so glad that there is a 10,000 octane power, the Word of God, and a Holy Ghost to light it up and to resurrect the power of God into a man's life or a woman's life or into a church. Now, I believe that there is a quickening power that can take the Word believed and make it come alive in your life. That will actually resurrect it in your life. That same resurrection power will make it live. That's what the gospel message is, that Christ is not dead, but He's alive. And you think about what we've been given this day. The Word has been poured out. Well, we can see the whole thing from cover to cover, which is why Brother Branham said there's been churches, brides, brides. Amen. But there's got to come one. Amen. There has to come a real bride. Amen. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it makes that church live, move in the power of His resurrection. How are we going to get there? We've got the mechanics. We've got all the capstone teaching. We've got all this message that Brother Branham brought to us. The seals have been opened up and it's been preached. But if we'll believe it, if we'll take it into our heart and believe that the things that have been spoken are not just some theology, not just something to look at and marvel at and say, wow, look how much I know and look how much I know more than the other person, and build ourselves up in our own mind. But if we'll humble ourselves and just take God's word as it's been presented, a bride with the full word that believes the word that God vindicates with his quickening spirit, manifesting his fullness in flesh. That's the Son of Man. That's the Son of Man. God back in flesh. Walking and talking and doing. He said that's what he proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself. The dynamics in the Word that made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shake into life and rise again and roll away the stone. I am he that was dead. So dead till the sun said he was dead, the moon said he was dead, the stars said he was dead, all nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it. Why does the whole world have to recognize it? Because the whole world's got to recognize when they see Christ moving in his bride. To see signs and wonders done, to see healings wrought, to see God living again and power, preached in the power and demonstration of his spirit. Not just some theology of what Martin Luther and John Wesley preached with a little things that needed to be tidied up, but the word and its power, the word back in its fullness again, quickened. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that claim to have the mechanics. This is what Brother Bram said. The dynamics will take its place. Let me skip through my notes here a little bit to see. So we can stay with the clock. I don't like the clock. Listen, he said your bodies is the temple of the dynamics. Why? Now he's going back to the seed. Because from the beginning, you're part of the mechanics. What kind of mechanics? You're part of the word. You were part of in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and you were part of that Word way back in the beginning, and part of that Genesis 1:26-27 man. You were part of that, and now the Word has been made manifest in flesh, in your flesh, by the Word, because the Word believed will make the engine run. The Word believed is what makes the engine run. And Brother Bram used that illustration. You know, you come about on somebody on the side of the road, and their engine's splutter and everything, and they're trying to start up their engine, and if they put water in their engine, all it does is just make it splutter. He said the dynamics, if it comes on water, it'll just splutter. Somebody saying days of miracles is past, pump, pump, pump. Oh, I believe the Bible, pump, pump, pump. But when he hits that 1,000 octane, whirr, away she goes, you see. The dynamics will strike that. Amen. You see what he's saying? If you'll believe the word, something will begin to happen. Amen. And he said the dynamics with the mechanics, that is, if he is a true eagle now, he will understand. God will begin to reveal. He'll begin to reveal his word to you. Amen. He said, watch, it was the spiritual revealed word that did it. That's the reason he told them to go baptize. Now, y'all listen, if you've been asleep for a second, just wake up just for a moment. Because this is how the dynamics will come. And Brother Brown, he got to talking to this man, and he got to explain, he was wondering why do you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus? And he said, he got to explaining to him about, he said, now if I told you, brother, to go over here and sign up for our dinner in the name of the governor of the state of Arizona, would you go sign it like that? Do you think they would receive it at the desk? Now listen, the point is, he had the mechanics. It was laying there between the pages of his Bible, and he saw what it said. It said, go and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in Matthew 28:19. And in Acts 2:38, it said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And he had the mechanics there. It was laying there, and he actually agreed that it was there. He said, now if I told you that, would you go sign it like that? Do you think they would receive it at the desk? Why? He said, I guess not. He said, why did Jesus say that? And he explained, he went on with his explanation. He said, when he said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he knowed how they was going to baptize. They knowed who he was. My sheep hear my voice. Now he had the mechanics there, laying there. He had it all laid out. And the brother said that he was talking to him, he said, "Oh, I see." Brother Brown said, "Oh, I see." In other words, he's got the mechanics there, and he's agreeing with it. He's agreeing. But that ain't it yet. Not yet. And Brother Branham said, in that, you go read it, in It Is the Rising of the Sun. He said, but now, the next thing, will you believe? Will you believe? Now you see how simple it is for the dynamics to come. The word has been laid out, but will you believe? And he said, see, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. He that heareth my word, he that hears it and then believes it and continues on believing, believes, then you got eternal life. Not maybe that moment when you say, oh, I see, but you keep believing until God recognizes that you believe. And that quickening power will come upon that word, the mechanics that you've held, the mechanics that you got laying there, and it will quicken it and bring it to life. The next thing, will you believe? When you've received this Holy Spirit now that they did at Pentecost, they were the mechanics. Now the dynamics had to come. And he said, they had believed. They had believed. And when they believed, that made a way for the dynamic power of God to come into their life. It opened up the gate for the Holy Ghost to come and quicken the word. When God recognizes your faith, you see the dynamics come. That's why the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They all got in there and they began to meditate in one accord, believing that something was going to happen. Believing. If you can believe, when you get the dynamics, Brother Brown said, you've been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. Why? Because God recognized your faith. That you believe the mechanics. You believe the word that was laid out for you, and it brought the dynamics. What's the dynamics? Christ living in you. I almost feel like, you see how simple it is. How complex sometimes we make it. If I don't see the pillar of fire, I don't know if we got the dynamics. But if I can see Christ living in his bride, if I can see Christ walking on 2 feet, on your 2 feet, I know to see God change somebody from the things of this world into somebody that he can use, somebody that he can preach through, to sing through, be a deacon through, a minister through, help through, a little widow woman to help somebody with the words that come out of her mouth and the life that she lives. Like that woman that Brother Ram talked about, cleaning her floor, saying, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And her drunk husband come in, and that quickening power that he observed there on the floor is what changed him. He began to recognize that there was a life being lived in front of him. What kind of life? The same spirit that raised up Jesus was in that little woman. And the same spirit that raised up him is in you tonight if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what'll it do? It'll take you right straight to the Word. Cause that's where you get all your nourishment from. That's where you get all your strength from. It's from the Word. He said, how can you claim to have that Spirit and throw yourself away from the Word? You're quickened by something else. For it will quicken your mortal bodies to the Word. It'll make you love the Word. Now these are my words. It'll make you love the Word. It'll make you care about what you believe. It'll make you care about it. It'll make you want to live it. Why? Because you've been changed. And Brother Branham said, just like a little seed coming up from the ground, it's pushing up, and a seed drinks water, and you've got to drink the word, because you can only drink from one thing. You pour oil down on that little seed one time, it'll kill it. You pour stagnated water, old water that ain't no good, it's contaminated, it'll stunt the growth. But you pour real good soft rainwater, it'll make it live. Which is why the Bible says in Isaiah, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. In Philippians, holding forth the word of life. The word is actually where you get your life from. The word is what's going to change your body. Listen, I know I'm fighting against something tonight, because that's so hard for some. People argue against that. It's so hard for you to come to grips that it's the word that will change you. The word believe, if you believe it, it will change you. You look around at your house maybe and you say, well, I don't see the effect. It seems like I believe. Maybe you got the mechanics all piled up and you really need to take the book down and meditate on the word of God and get to believing. Because if you believe it the right way, if you take the medicine the right way, like Brother Ramon said in The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, it will have an effect. If you take the medicine the way the doctor prescribed it and follow the prescription, it will do what it says. John 5:25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the God and they that hear shall live. Because his words are life. His word is actually what will give you life. Now, Brother Brown said, see the dynamics coming to the mechanics on the day of Pentecost. And he said, some of you people that are afraid that some woman will laugh at you for having long hair or quit wearing makeup. Some of you man that's afraid your organization will throw you out when you baptize your congregation in scriptural baptism. You need to close yourself in the upper room till the dynamics come. What happens in that when you close yourself off? You get to meditating on the word. You get to believing. Something begins to take place. Your soul begins to elevate into another dimension, into that dimension where all the world begins to fall away and you're able to believe when you close yourself in the upper room like they did on the day of Pentecost. And I believe maybe tonight that's what we need some of, is to close ourselves off away from the things of this world and get along with God so that we can see the dynamic power of God moving in our life. Listen, some of you maybe that are afraid of what others think about you here tonight, if you get along with God so that his dynamic power, get along and begin to meditate on his word, that God can change that. When you're afraid of taking correction, when your mom and daddy tell you, you need to be dressing this way, you need to be clothing yourself instead of going out in the world naked, showing yourself off to other men. If you begin to realize that that's for your good, not for your hate, not for your hurt, but your mama and your daddy want you one day to find a good man that will love you and raise you up in the to teach you the word and raise up children in the admonition of the Lord. The reason your mama and daddy are concerned about you is not for your hate. Listen, sometimes the older ones, maybe they'll sweep secret sin up under the rug, but if you'll get alone with God and let God take care of that, he'll change you. He'll change you so you're not ashamed to be identified with the gospel. So you're not ashamed to walk behind your mama through the store or something because she's got long hair and a dress. You're not ashamed to be identified with the gospel. That's what the quickening power will do to you. It'll make you proud to say, this is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It'll make you proud to be identified with the things that were spoken of. It'll be proud to say, I'm one of them. I'm one of that crazy group that just shouts and praises God and knows what they believe. I'm one of them. Brother Bram said when he was talking about it, he said, I'll show you what it is. It's the scripture. He said, I've always said, if this ain't that, let me keep this till that come. Listen, the quickening power will make you proud to say that you're a Christian. Proud to be identified with that life that's come upon the word that you've believed. He said, what happened on the day of Pentecost? He said, it changed them. It quickened them. It made them different. They were a changed people from that. You see what effect it has on you? It changes you. It quickened them from an old life. They absolutely faced martyrdom and all those other things. Nailed to crosses. No more cowards about them. Death had no victory over them at all. The dynamics was in the mechanics. Yes, sir. It quickened their mortal body. It so quickened them in such a way. It quickened their mortal body. What's he talking about in this sermon? He's building up your faith. When you come to a place, and I believe we've come to a place where we can believe that the seals have been opened, you come to a place where it's time for a body change. You read these messages again and you'll find out he's talking about the thing that we need in this hour for our flesh to be changed. That's what he's talking about. It quickens their mortal body. It changes your flesh and it will change your flesh, your mortal body. It so quickened them. It quickened their language. What's he talking about? He's talking about their flesh, their tongue. It quickened their tongue so that they were speaking different. Their thoughts were quickened. It'll quicken your brain. Their spirits were quickened. Their life were quickened. They were quickened altogether. They tried to talk and couldn't talk it anymore. Human language. It'll make you do things you didn't do before. Because you're feasting at a fountain that the world knows nothing about. Now listen, he says the quickening power wasn't only in their soul, it was all over them. What's the stature of a perfect man for? To take what's in your soul and push it out. Push it out until all your flues are up and up in your spirit. Push it out until you're believing the word of God. Push it out until it finally takes over your body. Push it out until it's all over you. Until, like Brother Brown said, in the stature of a perfect man, you've been swallowed up. Swallowed up in Christ. That's what we're yearning for. He said, not only the dynamics come in to quicken, but it quickened the mechanics. They were so quickened till their tongues began to speak in another language. They were so quickened. It quickened your mortal body. They were healed by laying on of hand. Now you think that you can quicken your mortal body so much that you can pass eternal life from one to another. Pat, I'm talking about the spirit, the quickening spirit to heal somebody, that someone can be healed because you touched them with your hand, with your flesh. It quickened their mortal body in their flesh. Resurrection from the dead, Brother Brown said, and the spirit quickened their fellowship together with God till they were also so quickened into the presence of God until when a person died and their soul had gone off, it called him back to life again. You see where Brother Ram's going in this message? He's going up. He's culminating. I'm doing maybe a cliff notes tonight for you. So when you go back and study this message, maybe you'll read it different. He's culminating with resurrection of the dead and changing your mortal body. What happened on the day of Pentecost is they saw the dead raised and their bodies were quickened. And what the culmination of this message is, you'll see the dead rise from the ground. And your bodies will be changed. First the dead in Christ must rise. And then we will be caught together with him to meet him in the air. They laid hands on the sick. They recovered. They prayed. And the spirit they saw vision called the dead back to life. That's right. Quicken their mortal body. The quickening power bringing the word. The mind that was in Christ was in you then. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also. And when a man has said that he believes the word, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, it is the abstract to the title. And that gives you permission. When you have that abstract, that every bit of that belongs to you. Every bit of it. And everything is on it belongs to you. Now, Enoch in the Bible had a testimony. And Brother Brown said his testimony was, that I haven't failed, I haven't one time failed his word. You see, what's going to change you is his word. Enoch was walking in the word, and Enoch was a type of you, not the other way around. Enoch's typing you, and you're going to take a body change the same way that Enoch took a body change. And Brother Bram said Enoch got so full of the quickening power when the dynamics hit him on the mechanics. He didn't even have to die. He just took him home. He just started walking. He just went, I'm an old man anyhow. I just got so much quickening power, I'll just walk right out of the earth. And Brother Branham said, that's that same quickening power that we have right now. See, it will quicken your mortal body. Isn't that right? It's the quickening power. Enoch, with that perfect testimony that everything God told me to do, I did it. Everything that I seen he said for me do, I done it. Everything. Now you with your walk, you've gone down to the water to be baptized. The preacher over the pulpit said you need to be born again. And you went through the motions. You've been born again. The preacher over the pulpit preached the stature of a perfect man to you. And you've climbed and you struggled and you've gone through all your life like an ox laboring, burdening, going to climbing and climbing until you come. And you can have that same testimony that Enoch did. Everything God told me to do, I did it. That's what'll bring you confidence. And the confidence when you're facing the hour of death and you say like Job, I know in my flesh that I will see God because everything God told me to do, I did it. Everything that I've seen, he said, for me to do, I've done it. And he said he becomes so full of mechanics until when the quickening power struck him, the mechanics, it just lifted him right up. He walked on out of the earth into heaven. You see how you do it? You believe God's word. And God's word is what will carry you. Elijah got so full of the quickening power until he seen a chariot hooked over there, some horses of fire and chariots of fire hooked to some tree over there. He just walked across the river and went home without even dying. Now hold that in your mind for a second. Elijah didn't die. Now Moses is full of that quickening power, was he? Brother Ram said he was a prophet who the word came to. And I'm closing here in a minute. I'm winding up. He was part of the word. He was the word of that day. Is that right? And after he was dead, 800 years, there he stood again. Peter, James, and John went up to the top of Mount Transfiguration. And they saw Elijah, who never died, but went up in a fiery chariot. And Moses, who died, but there he was. Why? Because that same quickening power brought him back. That same quickening power had him standing up there between, on either side of Jesus there on Mount Transfiguration. What kind of quickening power? The same quickening power that when Elisha was dead in the ground, his bones had so much quickening power when they touched another dead man, it brought him to life. That's the kind of quickening power we're talking about here tonight. There was that scene on the Mount Transfiguration when Jesus was standing there in the middle and a voice spoke from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hear him. And on either side of him was in type, a type of the ones that had that quickening power that had died and the ones that had not died but had that quickening power and were called away. That quickening power is going to bring the dead saints from the ground. That quickening power is going to change somebody's body so you'll never have to taste death. That quickening power is sufficient to raise the dead saints from the ground. And how are they going to raise from the ground? Because the word will be manifested in the life of the Son of Man revealed again in his bride. And they will have to come from the ground because that is the resurrection sign. The Son of Man is the resurrection. That's the resurrection power, is God's life made manifest in flesh again by that quickening power, quickening the word that you've heard, the word that you've heard all these years, that you've held in your heart, that you've received the quickening power in your life to make it live. That's what'll do it. Now the musicians, go ahead and come. Brother Adam said, look at Transfiguration. We was everyone represented there. There was the living saints that had raptured. There was Elijah standing there. There stood Moses, the dead saints. Whether one died and the other didn't die, they're all there. He said, we're just like them at Mount Transfiguration. See? Let's stand to our feet and just worship the Lord. I believe we've got the secret to a body change. The secret was revealed. It was opened up as when Christ rose from the grave. And now the seals have opened up everything that we have need to take a body change, to raise the dead saints from the ground, to see them come forth again. Can you imagine all of our dead loved ones that have gone on to maybe one day be needing bread in the kitchen or whatever, and see Brother Marlowe come walking up the driveway, see all the ones that have gone home. We could go down the list of all of our loved ones and see them come, maybe walk, come walking down the aisles of the church one morning. It's that quickening power that'll do it. I believe that same quickening power is here tonight. If you have need of something, just set your heart, set your mind on Christ. Don't just leave the mechanics sitting up there on the shelf. Don't, it's time to polish it off and get our heart and mind set on believing it. And you'll see God do something. Just believe Him. Let's sing something.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus.
Whatever you have need of tonight,
He came to love.
You can receive it in your seat. Or if you need somebody to join faith with you, we'll be glad to pray with you.
He lived and died.
He proved Himself. His life proved it.
And empty grave.
Yes, sir. That's the proof tonight. An empty grave proved it. But not only that, the proof is that he's alive in you and I tonight. That's the proof. The quickening power is here in the bride again. Because he lives, I can face. We can face whatever life throws at us. You love him tonight, just worship him. If you still got any fear left, if you're afraid of dying, if you're afraid like John Wesley was when he sailed on that boat and realized he wasn't ready, there's an answer to that fear. Just give yourself over to him tonight. Trust in the one that can take away all that fear.
I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain, and in its day gives way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. Life is worth living just because he lives.
Amen. He makes everything worth living. He makes life worth living. Despite all the heartaches, despite all the trials, it's all worth it. Aren't you glad to have a purpose in your life? Aren't you glad that when you get home from work that and you go put your head on your pillow and get up and do it all over again the next day, it's not just for something vain, that you're not just going down into a hole in the ground at the end of your life, but there's a quickening power that's going to raise you up if you have to go by the grave. And if not, there's a quickening power that's going to change your mortal body one sweet day. Aren't you glad that because he lives? Y'all remember us in prayer this weekend. We're going to be going down to Mobile and Monica's dad is not doing, according to, everything that your eyes can see and the doctors say, he's not doing too good. We're just laying everything before the Lord and trusting in him. So y'all just pray for us as we go down to kind of help with that situation and pray for us that maybe we'll be able to say something encouraging. All hearts and minds clear. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Thank God for a message. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'll just bless your people, Lord, as they go their separate ways tonight. Lord, that you'll give them traveling mercies and keep them safe on the road home, Lord. Grant it, Lord, that maybe something tonight was said that to help them, Lord, and edify, Lord. Maybe some of these words just echo back in their heart, Lord, as they go through the week and give them strength. Maybe as the boss is giving them a hard time tomorrow. Maybe as things are going wrong at work. Maybe the doctor's saying things that don't sound too good. Maybe, Lord God, that you'll just bring these words back to them, that they know, Lord, that you love them and that you've sent your quickening power into the church to prove it, Lord, to prove that your word is true and prove that you love us. Grant it, Lord, that you would bless these blessings will go with your people, Lord, as they go their different ways, Lord. We ask this blessing upon your people. Amen. You're dismissed.